Hi, this is Jordan Johnson, and you're listening to The Grove Podcast. We have a really special episode for you today. We are going to hear from an amazing panel of women from our house right here at Passion City Church as they sit down with Shelley Giglio and discuss what it looks like to carry family, work, and that ever-elusive path to balance. They also talk about what this looks like as things escalate during the holidays, and there's more and more competing for our time and attention. Hope you enjoy.
Hey, it's Shelley Giglio, and we are here on The Grove Podcast, and I am so thrilled today to have a few friends with me. I thought it would just be amazing if we sat for a minute and just talked about Christmas. And I know for all of us, it's one of our favorite seasons of the year. Well, maybe not for everybody. We can talk about some of that too. But for most people, Christmas is a highlight. But then when we get right up to the season, it feels like oftentimes we panic. Either we're unprepared, we realize that our schedules are too intense, we realize that our kids actually think it's about Santa Claus. There are just a lot of causes of stress around the holidays. And so I thought rather than just let it pass by that we would just have a conversation today. So I've invited a few of my friends. I'm going to let them actually introduce themselves and tell you who they are. And then we're going to have a good chat. So I look forward to it. Go for it, Mo.
Okay, I'll kick us off. My name is Mo Isom. I am first and foremost a wife to a smoking hot husband. We've got a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, and another one on the way. So we are in the thick of it. But I'm also a speaker. I get to travel the country and share the gospel and write books and see Jesus reach tens of thousands I never could, especially with spit up on my shirt and chasing around kiddos. And I love the privilege of stepping into his story and trying to balance it. If balance is a thing.
We're going to talk about that. I think we probably need to.
Yeah, figuring it out as we go, but loving every step of the journey. So we're rooted right here in Atlanta, and obviously Passion City Church is home, and we love our home here. So
love it. We love that you're a part of it. Allison.
I'm Allison Dukes. I am the CFO of SunTrust Bank. And
that little small job you have.
Keeps me busy.
I can imagine.
It keeps me busy. I am the wife to Billy Dukes and the mother of 2 sons who are 9 and 11. And we are very proud to be at Passion City Church as well. I'm busy, and balance and juggling is, what we all work through every day. So excited to be here today.
Yeah, you do it well. All right, Brittany.
I am Brittany Jones. I am the wife of Brad Jones, who happens to be a pastor, which I guess makes me a pastor's wife, whatever that means.
Well, that's a good thing right there, Brittany.
I tell people that, and I just see them putting me in their box, whatever that looks like.
You definitely have a category.
I am a commercial interior designer as a profession, and we have 2 kids. We have a 1-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. So church, family, work, just balancing it all, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Let's just start from the top and talk about balance for a second. Because I feel like for me, I get asked that a lot. I carry a lot of different hats, have things that I believe in at all different levels, which is beautiful. But it's also a question mark for people. How do you balance all that? How do you make all those things work? I think what they really want to know is how do you keep all those plates in the air without dropping some things?
Yeah.
I don't always keep them all in the air, and I do drop things. So I think saying that out loud is helpful. Mm-hmm. There isn't a time where it perfectly feels like everything's rotating well. At times, it feels like there are things that are being destroyed on the floor, and there's a lot of sweeping involved in things, picking up pieces and dust. But I feel like for the most part, balance is kind of an interesting word. So let's talk about it for a second. What do you guys think about balance?
I'm the newbie at all of this. I feel like the youngest in the room, especially stepping into big and exciting callings of on the ministry side, on the marriage side, on the motherhood side. So I probably offer much more rookie advice than anyone else sitting in here.
We'll take your rookie advice.
We're all rookies.
I think I've been learning. There probably really is no such thing as balance. Yeah. It is finding peace kind of in the midst of the chaos and standing in the chaos and the craziness and the glass balls that you're juggling and don't want any to break in realizing that some will, and His grace is really sufficient mm-hmm. in those times.
Yep.
And that many won't, and it's by His strength and His power, not our own ability or our own strength that can sort of puff up our pride. So I've learned that the hard way the past few years. I've gotten it all wrong several times and burnt out and had to recalibrate and been on the mountaintop at times. And it's just a learning curve that needs so much grace.
Yeah.
I mean, just so much grace, because especially as women, as mothers, as executives, you know, whatever role it is that we carry, I feel like we just naturally carry it with such intensity. We forget sometimes our deep need for like grace in mm-hmm. the midst of it. And so I think the biggest thing I've been learning lately by way of balance is actually Pastor Mike Todd spoke on this not too long ago, and it really resonated with me. And you spoke to me about this when we met for lunch, I mean, probably a couple years back. But what you said was there were so many different things that you juggled. And you were realizing there were some things that just weren't yours to carry.
Yeah,
right.
And Pastor Mike Todd was recently talking about even oftentimes our no's can be anointed. And so I think sometimes when we have so much going on and many things to juggle and many things we want to do and we're passionate about, we want to say, yes, 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 this is me. I'm like, I'll say yes to everything and I'll figure out how we're going to juggle it and how we're going to do it. And then we burn out
yeah.
because balance is near impossible.
Yeah.
But the beauty that we can have in releasing things and saying, this isn't mine to juggle, actually, or this needs to be a no, because it's possible, but it might not actually be beneficial for my family or the structure, or the schedule, or, you know, this I can set down for now, for this season. And that's just so counterintuitive to what we want to do. We're just, at least me, I'm a yes.
Yeah.
I'm a yes person because I'm excited about it all and I want to do it all.
Yep.
But learning the no's, we learned it like by a punch in the gut, especially this past fall when our yeses just overwhelmed us.
Yeah.
And we learned, you know, even sometimes our no's can be beautiful because God has a bigger or different or more peace-filled thing that was waiting right around the corner, you know.
So you talked about grace. I want us to talk about that too, because it's easy for me to give other people grace for those moments. Oh, I'm looking at your life. I understand it looks complicated. You're having to choose some things, yes and no's. You're having to decide how you're going to live right now. I get that. I have grace for you in that moment. But then oftentimes I will look at my own life and say, no grace for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You it's actually just need to pull your weight.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we extend grace, not just to other people, but how do we look at ourselves with grace-filled eyes?
Hmm. I mean, I think for me, what I'm learning is that the good and the bad is all to God's glory. So just like how I want all of the good things or the successes or the ways I feel like I'm winning, that I want those to glorify God, and I say to Him be the glory, then I can need to be able to release even the bad things, even the thing, if I'm not going to take all of the good onto myself, then I don't need to take all the bad onto myself either. And something that I think Brad and I both just have been gifted by God with is this ability to just let things kind of roll off our back. And so even if today is hard, even if I had a mom fail moment, which I have many, then, you know, there is a new day tomorrow. And the ability to move forward from what seemed like a failure and not kind of sulk in it or let it define me or become part of my identity, but move into tomorrow as a new, fresh start, that is something that's helped us
that's so helpful.
To just take a step every day moving forward.
I think even what you said, Mo, about just opening your hands mm-hmm. so that when stuff doesn't work, not just when stuff does, but when stuff doesn't, it doesn't feel like you're the responsible party.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the one holding, like you said, Brittany, all the successes, but you're also not the one holding all the failures.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're actually with open hands saying to God, hey, put in my hands what's mine, take out what's not, freely give me what I'm supposed to have, and please take away the stuff that is not mine to hold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And help me, God. I feel like the posture of open hands just shows that we're not self-sufficient, mm-hmm. that we actually can't do everything alone, and it's not going to work mm-hmm. if we try to just muster up the strength to do it. And it just, to me, it's a daily reminder when I open my hands and they're right in front of my eyes to see that God's in charge of me instead of me being in charge of me. Mm-hmm. And it creates more grace for myself. What about you, Allison? What do you think?
First of all, I love how you use the word recalibrate. And mm-hmm. if I think about what Shelley just said about letting, you know, just standing in front of God with open hands, but allowing him to recalibrate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are times when we just have to acknowledge, not with a sense of failure, but just that God's trying to recalibrate.
Yes.
and allowing him to do that for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I struggle every day with similar challenges to what you all have just shared, which is there's so much I want to do. I have this just unbelievable sense that I carry around all the time that each day is really short and that this life is really short and that yeah. there's just so much need and there's yeah. so many ways to serve. And I find such joy in serving in so many different capacities. And I consider my work and my profession to be in service to God too. Mm-hmm. And so that can get the best of me at times because mm-hmm. I find myself completely overloaded coming from a good place
right.
with good intentions.
Right. Yeah.
But I have failed to set boundaries
yeah.
and allowing, and I'm going to use that and thinking about how do I with open hands sort of really let God recalibrate where I spend my time.
Yeah.
Because that's the challenge in work and motherhood and life and the work you want to do and your family and your community and all those things are just they're incredibly compelling.
Yeah,
and I find so many compelling ways to spend my days. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah. I read something the other day that was saying the average person, they can only do two or three things really well. And when we try to do 9 or 10 things, that none of them even get done adequately.
Right.
And that's just something.
Well, that's a recalibration right there. Sure
is. Okay.
So yes. to, right. we had someone tell us one time, like, what are your 5 buckets? What are the 5 things that you're letting your life pour into right now? Because if there are more than that, then you're going to burn out. You're not going to do the 5 things well. Like, what are these 5 things? And that has really had us recalibrate, you know, mm-hmm. what are we saying yes to? Because when you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to things.
No.
And to really prioritize the things that are the most important. And something that God has just been impressing on me, I guess, in the past year is this idea that I want to invest my energy, because I do only have so many hours in a day, just like all of us, that I want to invest it in the things that are going to last mm-hmm. and not in the things that are going to be behind me in a week that I'm not even going to, that aren't going to matter, that aren't influencing anything. So it's just helped us start to reprioritize what are our 5 things? What are the mm-hmm. things we really want to be doing well? And everything else comes up against that. And is it worth it or is it not? Because it's either going to take the place of one of these 5 things.
Yeah.
That yes, we'll say no to one of these. And it's helped us.
That's awesome. I know for you, work has felt like it's continued to be a priority for you. You're
yeah.
a designer and you're good, good, good at it.
You're sweet.
And I think you've made it one of your priorities. How in sort of your lifespan of having kids and being in ministry, how did you figure out that that was still very important to you, and why is it important to you?
Well, I was one of those random people in college who picked a major and actually stuck with it, and now
weird.
I'm actually
you were so
doing,
strange.
You know, like doing, I'm actually doing what I went to school for, which is, I see now how rare that is, and yeah. I see how it was God's hand all along. And so I have experienced God so powerfully through my education of design and then into my career, like even bringing me here to Atlanta. It is the catalyst for so much of the way that he's using my life now in all these other arenas. So I knew and have been able to see his hand in so many of the details of that. So it was never anything I was willing to give up easily. And as our stewardship and responsibility at church has grown, and as we've now have a family and with marriage, it became, my job sort of became the thing that if anything was going to go, it was going to be the thing that had to go, mm-hmm. even though it's so life-giving to me. And it was hard in the beginning to figure out, like, how do you do ministry? And there's almost an entirely different culture and language to how you talk to believers versus how I interact with my coworkers and my bosses. And so I felt like I had my foot in these two different worlds for a while. And while that was kind of stressful, feeling that way at first, I felt God say, like, Brittany, do you realize who you really are? Like, you wouldn't thrive if it was all of one or all of the other. Like, mm-hmm. you need the variety. And I have understood myself more since then to realize it's so true, and that I'm actually thriving when I'm able to kind of operate in these different arenas. And as life has expanded and more has gotten on our plate, the way God has opened doors and given me favor at work to create the flexibility that I need to be able to maintain all the other areas of my life has been mind-blowing. I mean, when I started working out of college, you couldn't do commercial interior design anything less than full-time. And really, it was a little bit more than full-time to mm-hmm. be able to do it. And now to see how God has just given me the right opportunities, the right people in my life that are leading me in my job to be able to believe in what we're doing with the church and to believe in how we want to leverage our lives so that they also can give me that open door to have flexibility in my career so I can do it all, because I think I would be missing a part of myself if I couldn't operate.
That's amazing to watch you do that. Talk about just the leveraging idea, Allison, because I feel like when you opened your hands and said, I'm open to the stewardship that you placed there, God, then God went ahead and gave you something quite large. And he said, you know what? If you're going to trust me, then I'm going to give you something that I'm going to trust you with. Mm-hmm. And I think you do a phenomenal job of actually seeing that as opportunity and not wait. And I think you also see it as an opportunity to leverage something that's maybe bigger than you. So talk about that for a second, because I think it's so helpful. And then eventually we are going to talk about some Christmas things. But how good is this?
We're building towards the Christmas.
Okay, we might. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, it really, when I think about sort of the last 10 years of my life or so, it's unbelievable how God has had his hand in so many of the decisions I've made and the decisions I didn't make, the things yeah. that mm-hmm. were made around me and one thing leading to another. I was sharing this story the other day. I actually tried to take a little bit of a right-hand turn about 8-9 years ago and leaving investment banking to step off that fast track into what I thought was going to be actually a little bit of a downshift and give me a little more time, as I had a 2-year-old and I was expecting our second any minute. And I did downshift for like a minute. and what I found was God was putting me on a different path. And I think teaching me each step of the way how to glorify him in what I do, and not seeing spending my time at work is taking away from my time with my family or my time with him,
yeah.
but teaching me how to work all those things into one big life and not three distinct lives.
Yeah. That's very helpful.
Yeah. And that's been, and I'm still on that journey and I'm still learning every day. And I still trip and fall in that, but I try to not think about where I'm spending my time when I'm with family and I'm not with work, or when I'm with mm-hmm. where I'm at work and I'm missing something with my children, but rather to figure out how do I integrate those at natural points. My children love banking, and they think every other bank's
the enemy.
They'll
probably be really good at it.
They're very competitive, and it's very interesting to see how they've grown up in this life knowing nothing else, but what I do, and they see that as just a part of our family,
yeah.
And they see how it gives us the opportunity to leverage so much.
Yes.
I wrote my personal purpose down a few years ago, and I've only in this year gotten comfortable sharing it in a work setting,
would which love to hear it.
Has its own, you know, challenges, and I have to be thoughtful about it and being a steward of a public company. But my personal purpose is to glorify God
yeah.
with all that I have, all that I am, and all that I do. Mm-hmm. And it was just short and sweet, and I keep it written in my work journal that goes everywhere with me, and I can just look at it sometimes during the day and think about, am I glorifying God with all that I do, all that I have, all that I am, and just those three elements, and how do I work that into the choices I make with my time? Mm-hmm. And I've begun to share that a little more openly, just so that the people around me know why I do what I do. And in doing that, God is leveraging so much. The more I share it, the more it's coming back to me from so many people of just that, what it meant to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can see God using my time and my service to get to do so much else, to do so much else that I can't even begin to wrap my mind around. And we're just on this journey, and we're trusting that we're on the right journey, and we're doing it as a family. Mm-hmm. And I think most important in all of that is my husband made the decision to stay home with our children about 18 months ago as we kind of decided to do this together. And what was that team decision going to look like? And so I had a board meeting out of town a few weeks ago. The whole family came, and we turned it into a fun trip because it was a child's birthday. And so we're just making it one big life, and we're going to have fun with it. And
I love that you're figuring it out as you go, that you don't feel so much pressure to have sort of, you know, the general template that you're shooting for. And like you said, about what you personally feel is important. So that is the template over everything you do. But as far as knowing how a day is going to go, how do you know? You don't know how to plan that. Yeah. And I love that you feel like you're more on an adventure and that your family has actually been invited to the adventure with you. Yeah. And I think Mo in particular does a brilliant job of not making it feel like for her kids that she's called to something, but actually she and Jeremiah do an amazing job of feeling like together they're called to something. And that includes their kids.
Yeah.
And you can't take them everywhere, and you wouldn't want to take them everywhere.
Nope. No, I wouldn't.
But you can still.
Definitely maybe not at this stage. I don't know. Anyway.
But you definitely want them to know that we are in this together. How do you communicate that to kids that are small kids who maybe wouldn't understand if you told them in words what that means?
Yeah. I love that from the outside looking in, you see that, because that's been a big focus for our family. Again, a recalibration in the past year or so of what are we doing and what is God calling us to? I looked at, you know, I kind of stepped back and I was like, this is what I was called to in singleness. And I could go do, I had no limitations. I had no, you know, boundaries. I didn't have to think about anybody else. I could always give a yes because it was just me. But now I'm here married and very quickly with multiple children. And it's just not working. It's not the same calling as it was in singleness. So let's stop and catch our breath and sit down and pray about what we as a unit are doing here and what God sees when he looks at us now as a family. And it was this beautiful pause for our family to say, wait a second, when I look at the holy word of God, when I sit in prayer and ask the Father what he would intend for us, I always see the family as a multi-generational team. This is a team that is being built. I mean, you look back even in biblical times, they popped out kids left and right because that was more helping hands on the land and the work, you know, and it was like, somehow I feel like in our Western culture, we've really shifted from that. Everything has become very, very separate. And you go here and we go there and we'll come back together and maybe we get a meal together once a week. And it's like all these individual moving parts. And it never set well in my heart that I was here and they were there and who was watching the kids and this, this, and that. And granted, that still is the case, you know, from day to day. It does. It takes a village. It takes a stadium full of humans to make this happen. Amen. But we really sat down and we breathed and we were like, we are a multi-generational team. We are Team Aiken. I said my name was Mo Isom. My married last name is Aiken. So in the private, I'm an Aiken. So we were like, we are Team Aiken. What does that look like?
Yeah.
And how do we steward that and carry that with focus and on mission? So we are a team, we are a family, we're a multi-generational team. What is our mission? What are the five bins, you know, that are our pillars as a family, and the decisions that we make, do they fit? You know, this helps us with our yeses and nos. And then how do we do this with a two-year-old and a one-year-old and the family growing? And that has continued to be sort of the touch and go day by day. Okay, how does this look? today? How will this look in this season where we're traveling a ton? How does this look when we're not? But the beauty of being unified in that prayerfully and on mission together with my husband then simply reflects to our children, hey, you're an important part of this team. And we want you to see that it's not just God calling mommy to stand on a stage and talk. This is God calling our family to be on mission to share the gospel.
Yeah.
And so very similar actually to y'all's situation. Just a few months back, we stopped again and we said, what does this look like for you, Jeremiah? Because right now, you know, you're working at the hospital 6 out of 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And we miss you. And it's really hard to do this. And we don't feel like a team, you know, because you're away most of the time. So what would God have for us? What would it look like to take a crazy step of faith here? And it didn't make sense financially. It didn't make sense in about 9 of the 10 different categories for him to step back and go down part-time at the hospital and come on part-time with the ministry. But we really felt like that was something God was inviting us to and saying, just trust me. And we took that step of faith for Jeremiah to bring down what he was doing away from the home and to come into the home for us to be able to, again, do this together more so. And it was like, I wish everyone would take wild and crazy leaps of faith because mm-hmm. God's response is so faithful yeah. and it's so kind. Mm-hmm. And immediately, in about 10 different ways, it made perfect sense and God provided and our children benefited and our marriage benefited and our schedules benefited and our peace of mind benefited. So I ramble because I get excited because I think there's beauty in recognizing our individual callings, but if we're in a marriage, if we're in a family setting, if we're in a team setting, our team's missional calling, and how do we do this together as teammates so everyone here benefits and everyone thrives? And yeah, sometimes the whole crew travels, and it's amazing. Like you said, you had a birthday, the whole family came. There will be events where the whole crew comes. Yeah, let me tell you something. I was flying back the other day. This is the adventure of it. We had the kids on the flight. We really pushed it. We thought, let's try flying during their bedtime to see if it'll help them sleep. We've never done it. We were that family. Both children screamed the whole time in it, one after the other. And then the other would wake up. And then the other. My two-year-old, almost three, urinated all over my lap while she was sleeping. Our one-year-old is just having a fit. We were that family that literally when we landed, the flight attendant was like, ping. Well, I know all of us are grateful that flight is over.
That is amazing.
We're like, oh gosh. And we just sink down in our seat.
She's talking
about we're on mission
me.
Together and this is for the glory of God. And I'm just
but we will not fly in bedtime again.
No, we won't. We
That's
won't.
That's amazing.
Lesson learned.
But it's still the beauty of the chaos. Yeah. Again, it's what's the balance in the chaos? Yeah. You know, what's worth it here? That we had one rough flight or that we had a whole week together yeah, on mission together exactly. and that our kids got to see us doing this. And it wasn't strange to talk about Jesus. It wasn't weird. This is the norm that we would lay down our lives, pick up crazy schedules, pick up things that seem impractical, learn the hard way, wrestle as we go, but at the end of the day, get to proclaim the glory and the goodness of God and see people come to know Jesus
I
in response.
So much. Mm-hmm.
And so I hope my kids grow up seeing it as very normal. And yeah.
It's a pretty huge invitation to them, I think, to be involved in something that big.
I hope so. Too. And the beauty of seeing their mommy and daddy find the balance of, hey, what would it look like for you to hang with the kids this weekend while I pop out? Mm-hmm. What would it look like for you to be here while I'm there at the hospital? You know, how we balance this, I think they see the beauty and fluidity of teamwork. And the fluidity of honoring one another and, you know, coming back to that core mission and making it happen, just the flexibility.
Great. Talk for a second, Brittany, just about how you not lose people in the midst of the crazy, mm-hmm. because I think you do the most phenomenal job of seeing people, mm-hmm. whether that's at your office. And I mean, we could go interview them if we had time and they could tell us that, but I watch your life from up close and the thing I notice about it the most is that even when the intensity is on 12 out of 10, that you still see who's present among you and that you care about them and don't lose sight of them in the midst of all of that. So can you just talk even in practical terms about what it looks like to be looking at people even when things are nuts?
Well, thank you for saying that. It's very kind of you to say. I would just say that I think we've all been in conversations where you leave the conversation feeling better about yourself because of the interaction with someone else. And I have a lot of women around me, like you, Shelley, other women that always make me feel better walking away. And it has inspired me that I want to be that kind of person. I don't want people to get lost in a room. I'm an introvert. I like the wall and the shadow a lot of times in a room. I would feel much more comfortable back there. And I think because I know what it's like to have someone see me back there and come and find me, that I'm just sensitive to trying to see the people who don't think people can see them, or mm-hmm. maybe don't want them to see them, and then make it really awkward by going and seeing them.
They're like, no, no, no. They're like, oh, I picked man. This corner.
Yeah. So I just have had people find me and see me and invite me into so much. And so it's a priority for me to try really hard to see people and recognize that everyone's got their stuff. Everybody's going through something. And to try to just be a bridge if I can.
Yeah, I think you do a beautiful job of that.
Thank you.
Okay, so we promised at the outset that we were going to talk a little bit about Christmas. Oh, yeah. And I mean, part of me just wants to keep on the deep track because it's so profound. And we can talk about favorite Christmas things before we end. But but talk about peace in the midst of Christmas. Because it, you know, Christmas doesn't feel like a peaceful thing. And yet the Prince of Peace is Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, chaos is the rule at the time of the birth of the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. So talk about your family and where you find Jesus and peace in the midst of this life.
Well, yeah, mine's short and sweet because it ties right back actually to everything that we've been talking about. We've seen it so beautifully, especially this year. I mean, we've just been drinking life through the fire hose through the past few years. But this year, our year was so busy that we finally came up on December. And all the things we've been speaking of, realizing boundaries, realizing priorities, realizing this is crazy and this is chaotic and we're worn out, we're worn thin. We need to step back and we need to give some no's. So that means declining a few holiday parties, which is making some women listen cringe because they're like, when will I see Carol? It's my once a year.
Will I wear the velvet dress?
Oh, yes, Carol.
When? But really stopping this month and saying, what's the purpose of this season here? Mm-hmm. And if we keep at this pace, we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
And we're going to fly right past Christmas, just as stressed, just as overwhelmed, and just as much chaos. And we're going to miss what the purpose of was for this season for ourselves and to teach our children of setting our eyes on the peace that surpasses all understanding, setting our eyes on Jesus and setting our eyes on the purpose of what we are to remember and rest in Christmas, which was the most unbelievable gift that we could have never worked for or earned, but it was freely given to us.
Right.
The breath of life into our stories. And so we stopped this month and we were like, we're going to give a lot of no's this month so that we can be present with each other and so that we can rest and so that we can fix our eyes on Jesus. And it has been so life-giving, and it's the fifth of December right now in 5 days.
So far we are loving it.
We're like, it's like our souls have been resuscitated. It's just been really good to just breathe and refocus. And, you know, there's so much, again, opportunity and festivity and whirlwind and Christmas excitement culturally. But who would we be as followers of Jesus if we were so caught up in Christmas that no one around us saw Christ?
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe getting a little more still, maybe stopping, maybe breathing and being filled ourselves, we can reflect more of the goodness of what this season is all about.
Yeah,
to our neighbor, to the person on the train, you know, to whoever it may be, because we're not so frazzled that we miss them. It's just that's like what you said, Brittany, you see them. You see people when you slow down a bit. So that's how we're coming around it. And I love the series we're in right now, even as a church, of the missing piece and remembering that peace that surpasses all understanding that came in that tiny, perfect newborn cry of the Savior of the world, born in the stillness of the night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it this year.
I love it. I love that you're doing that too, purposefully.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so interesting when you asked me to come and talk about this because my husband said to me, that's interesting. Timing.
And we love Billy. Because he'll just tell the truth.
He does tell the truth. And because we had a very chaotic Thanksgiving and it left me in a just state of complete drain.
Yeah.
Right about last Sunday night, you know, at 8 o'clock, as I realize I'm going right back to work at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And there's just, and what happened the last few days? And our home tends to be Grand Central, and I'm the happy hostess for every holiday, and I'm delighted to do it.
I've been in your home, and I can understand that.
It got the best of me at Thanksgiving. We had house guests for several days. We had, you know, large double digit family over on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, boy.
I had a precious friend who's just, I've been walking through a tough year with her as she spent her first Thanksgiving separated from her husband and children, and just deep brokenness. And I invited her to come to Atlanta and spend Thanksgiving with us, which was, again, just my honor to walk through this with her.
Yes.
But it also is incredibly draining.
Yeah.
And so we had a home full of people for 5 nights. And as I got them all out the door and got everything sort of finally put away and was like, oh my gosh, I'm going back to work in 10 hours. Mm. And I had a really bad attitude. I'll be honest. I had a really bad attitude. Yeah. And that was why Billy said, interesting.
How,
as you think
how
about
ironic.
How ironic.
Yes.
And I have over the last 10 days really reflected a lot on how joy was not present for me through that holiday in the midst of being so grateful to have so much family around, but I couldn't find the joy in all of the running around trying to take care of everybody. And we set some boundaries last week of we're going to really do the next 30 days very differently. Mm-hmm. And we are not going to let ourselves be the party home for everybody, and we love our family, but we're going to set some boundaries because we really want it to be the four of us this year. And so we've kind of canceled a lot. And my children get it now. They know it's all about Jesus. Yeah. They really do understand what Christmas is about. And I'm so excited to just really go deep with them in a different way. And so through some of Billy's Love Atlanta network, and some he made some phone calls yesterday and found a family that we could serve on Thanksgiving. Christmas Eve, and we're going to cook dinner for them, we're going to go shop for them, and my kids were all in, and we're not going to get
life-giving.
All dressed up, and we're not going to do the crazy, you know, 72 hours, which is what I feel like. Usually my home is full of people by 7:30 on Christmas morning. And we've just said, you know, it's just going to be us, and we're going to stay in our pajamas, and we're going to really reflect on what the day is all about and do it in a way that I think will bring joy to all of us and get us off of this consumption train that sometimes defines the month of December, where you feel like you have to be everywhere, do everything, make sure everybody knows how much they're loved by giving them some token of your love. And we're going to try to show that love in a different way. And it's unbelievable how much my attitude has changed in the last 7 days as I picked myself up after Thanksgiving and said, no, that wasn't right. I want a do-over. You know, that's not what the holidays are about.
Right. Yeah.
It's about Jesus. And when Mark 10:45, when he said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And I think about all the time that all the time, and that's what's fueling me. But I'm not serving it with joy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's feeling like a burden, that's not what that's about. And I think I was kind of, I was listening to the wrong voice in all of this.
Yeah.
That's so good. And good that you've made some choices. And I think it's easier to live out of the choices than it is to live out of the chaos.
Absolutely.
And so I love the thought that we could sit back down in January and hear a different experience from you, know, of what your holiday was actually like. And I think it's back to the grace thing that you were talking about earlier, Mo. It's having grace for yourself and going, you know what? Thanksgiving didn't really work like I thought it should.
Yeah.
And I even sort of planned for it to be different than it was. And it didn't come together that way. And I ended up getting to the end of it and thinking, was that good investment? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was present with a lot of people, but was I really investing in anyone.
Yeah. Right.
And if the answer to that is no, then have enough grace for yourself to change it.
Yeah.
And say, this is not going to be what I'm going to repeat.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this again. I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want the experience for other people that are on the other side of me to feel that way again. I don't want them to have to feel that way again.
That's exactly
right.
So
I need to make some choices and some changes for me. And, you know, I joke with our family, but I kind of have a 4-day family limit. I love my family a lot. And they're some of the greatest people in the world. And if I brought them in here right now, you would want to spend time with them, not just me. But I also have learned that I kind of turn into a different person after a few days. They're the same. They don't do anything wrong. Honestly, they're the same all the time. But I start getting really fussy with people and I'm unhappy about how things are working or what somebody's doing. And so it's not for so much for their sake, although it is for their sake. Because when I step away from them after a few days, I feel like they love me more. You know, I'm a better person. They want to be around me. They actually miss me when I'm gone instead of the opposite. Mm-hmm. So sometimes boundaries are the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves.
Truly.
To look at our life with really clear lenses on our eyes and say, what is working about it and what is not working about it? Mm-hmm. And the things that don't work, don't feel obligated to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do we feel so tied to things that aren't working? Why can't we just say instead, that's not really working. I need to make a different choice. Mm-hmm. Or we as a family need to make a different choice.
Yeah.
And so just hearing you guys say today, hey, we haven't always done it right. And we don't know exactly what we're doing. We are deciding a day at a time. But we are trying to create some boundaries around life so that the mission, the calling that we've actually been given and that we're stewarding can actually be accomplished in and through us. And we don't become blockades to that, but we become assets to that process. So y'all are brilliantly that. And thank you for your time and energy today. It was so great to have a conversation with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much to Shelley Giglio, Mo Isom, Brittany Jones, and Allison Dukes. We hope you found their conversation helpful and encouraging today. This episode was produced by myself and engineered by John Duke, with executive direction from Shelley Giglio, Emily Vogeltans, and Kara Diba. As always, if you're a lady who would like to join us for an upcoming Grove gathering, we'd love to have you. Just visit passioncitychurch.com/thegrove for details on when and where we're meeting, and we hope to see you there. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to share it with a friend, and thanks so much for joining us today on the Grove Podcast.